And the Buddha taught that all things that we come in contact with, ourselves, other people, things, objects, ideas even, they're subject to these three conditions. So the first is that everything is unsatisfactory. Everything is suffering. And on one hand, when I first heard this, I just thought it sounds a bit negative. You know, I've got a great life, actually. I don't feel like I'm suffering. I know there's a lot of suffering going on in the world, particularly with a lot of the natural disasters going on at the moment. I feel like that's suffering, I'm not suffering. But what the Buddha was trying to get to is that essential unsatisfactoriness of things. It's basically what I've been talking about, these expectations that really can't be met. And even if they are met for a period of time, we can't ultimately find lasting happiness in anything. Not in another person, not in a perfect relationship, not in a perfect job. Anything that we look for outside of ourselves, or even if we try to fix something inside of ourselves, once I'm like this, then it'll be great. Once I get this thing, then I'll be happy. The teaching of unsatisfactoriness is actually, well, it's not possible to find that unending happiness in things. And one of the reasons we can't find lasting satisfaction is that everything is impermanent. Everything changes. We change, situations change, other people change. So even if we do have that moment of expecting something and it being exactly what we want, well, it's impossible for that to sustain because that thing's going to shift. That thing's going to change. And on one hand, we can think, well, that sounds fairly obvious. I know things change. You know, we see our hair growing. We witness ourselves changing, perhaps through our practice, through our awareness. But then other things, it can be very difficult to see that they're a change. You know, I'm just looking at this ball. It's like, this ball looks like it's been here forever. And it's going to be here forever. This really heavy, weighty metal ball. But actually, what we call a ball, what we think of as something solid and unchanging, this didn't appear in this Ipswich Buddhist Center shrine room in this form. So this metal had to be excavated from the earth, it had to be molded, it had to be formed, it had to be engraved with this beautiful Tara picture inside it. And even though in this form it can still look pretty solid, and even though it may take hundreds, thousands, I don't know anything about metals, millions of years for this to change, this is not essentially going to stay in this shape for eternity. So even though we may not be able to witness it, even this ball is subject to impermanence, to change. And the reason for that is because it doesn't have an essential nature. This thing we call a ball is an amalgamation of the metal material, but also of all of the work and all of the time and effort that's gone into creating it. But it's not a ball in its essential nature. What was it before? It was metal. Before it was earth. We can have this reflection of anything around us, chairs, this building. These are all conglomerates. They're put together of different things. And we can take them apart, maybe easily. Maybe we can't quite see how they come apart. And the same is true for ourselves. There's no one thing that we can find in ourselves and say, yes, this is essentially me. This is unchanging. So we're a continuum. We're an ongoing experience. We have memories, intentions. We have habits, we have tendencies, but there's no essential nature of us, nothing that we can hold on to and say, this is going to change. No fingernail, no strand of hair, no bit of skin, no internal organs, all of our cells constantly changing. And even our consciousness, our mind, so we just meditated, we probably noticed that actually our mind does not stay the same from one breath to the next. We're always shifting. And it's the same with ideas. So if we cling too tightly to an ideal or an idea, then we suffer. So we come back to this idea of suffering, of unsatisfactoriness. If we start to think that either, yes, this is me, and I've got it, and I cannot be changed, then when we change, which is inevitable, if someone challenges us or we notice something shift, that's going to cause this little bit of a disconnect. There's a frustration or a pain. And maybe we can see that more in other people. When we come in contact with other people not acting the way that we would like them to, or situations not working out the way that we want them to. So suffering doesn't necessarily have to be something that is horrible or life-threatening, but it's something that causes us tension and causes us either to go into aversion, push something away, you know, something changes and, oh, I don't like that, or we start to cling onto it because we don't want it to change. So both of these actions, this clinging, and this aversion lead us to this place of dissatisfaction.